Hello, Vashon. This is the, I was just about to say, the Mostly True Radio Show. But that's not true. This is Dove Speaks Live. I'm here with Betsy Archambault, the executive director of the Dove Project, and we have guests.
Yes, we do. Actually, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is your headphones not right?
Yeah, I can't really hear anything, but that's okay.
But first, we'd like to do two things. One is thank our founding underwriters.
Absolutely.
For KVSH, John L. Scott, best people, best results. And we've got to talk about the 100 man march or 100 man.
100 man campaign.
Campaign.
Yep. So this is taking a stand to end violence against women. And the statement around this that we're doing is it will take everyone's help to end to end domestic violence and sexual assault in our communities. Be one of the 100 men that are taking the first step forward by contributing financial support of $100 or more for awareness, education, and prevention programs in our community. So you can find one of the Dove board members or come up to our office in Courthouse Square to register as one of our 100 stand-up men, or you could mail it to us, P.O. Box 1341. And later today, we will have the 100-man donate button up on our website. If you donate now, it's still fine. It's just I don't have the technical skills to change the button, and so I'm waiting for help.
And they take credit cards?
Yes, absolutely.
And checks and cash, yes. And bullion?
Maybe.
Okay, that's all I got is bullion.
Maybe we should ask our treasurer about the bullion. And what you would kind of get for this, I mean, besides the wonderful feeling of taking a step toward preventing violence within our communities, is we will be having newspaper articles every week until mid-May?
Mm-hmm.
Where we will list everybody's name who is a contributing person for the 100 man campaign.
Okay. That sounds great. This is going to go to the Beachcomber, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, very good.
Yeah. And I think this is a pretty awesome campaign. And, you know, the thing that I always come back to, because you know, you hear about violence and violence, domestic violence and sexual assault. And the large majority of men are really good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the stand-up men. It is a lot of hurt done by a few.
Exactly.
And so I think it kind of behooves everyone to say, this isn't cool. It helps change the culture.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think part of that is a guy might say, well, you know, I'm a stand-up guy. I don't have domestic violence in my history. But you're teaching, you know, a kid now that when your daughter grows up, he has those lessons. And those lessons, they don't come free. I mean,
no.
It takes support of prevention programs and, you know, just keeping the lights on at Dove.
Absolutely.
And so that's why this is so important. So while a guy might not think that he's needs to help because he's a good guy, well, his contributions are ripple effect through the community of helping, you know, potential problems in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And wonderful segue here into what you are preventing, and the education piece is today we are very happy to have two guests join us today. We have Kyle Britz, who is one of our co-facilitators of the Teen Council and a prevention specialist at Dove. And then we have Jerry Garrier, who is one of the founding members of our Teen Council. So welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
A little bit closer to your mic, please. There you go.
That's close enough.
Yeah, hello. Great.
Awesome.
Take two.
Yeah, so Teen Council is this super duper cool pilot program that that we are running, and it is a pilot program with Planned Parenthood. And what that means is we are actually the very first nonprofit in the country to have a teen council as a nonprofit. And so the other teen councils that do exist, because it is a 20-year-old proven evidence-based program, have all been run in-house by Planned Parenthood.
And I think that bears repeating. The very first nonprofit outside of Planned Parenthood is us.
Woo. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so it's pretty cool. The teen council, it really, it sits at the middle of public health, prevention, social change, and healthy sexuality. And the teen council members create social change through advocacy in their schools and communities. And the work that they do are helping build a healthier community for us today and in the future.
Well, that was a perfect segue.
I know. I love it when that happens. So, Kyle, do you want to tell us a little bit about your experiences so far in being in this pilot program of teen council with Dove?
I would say it's been pretty phenomenal working with these current teens, and co-facilitating this program has been amazing, both for my education and then recognizing how it is impacting our community already, having healthier communications, and then seeing the impacts of it at the high school and the middle school, both schools that I attended. So like recognizing that extra support for this opportunity for peer education has been pretty inspiring. And I'm really enjoying this process as well.
Awesome. And Jerry, how about you? How did you decide to apply to be a teen council member?
I first found out about this through my school counselors at the high school. And when I found out about it, I thought this was a really good opportunity to give back to the community, as well as something that when I remember learning in the sex ed classes I've taken, I didn't get as much as I thought I could have out of it, and it still left me with questions unanswered, and I don't want other kids to go through that, as well as like the tense, uncomfortable feeling that usually goes with sex education that I don't think should be there.
Right, because what the teen council does really is normalizes all of this to really be super effective peer educators. So when someone comes up and says, hey, I heard this, you can say, well, you know, it's actually this, or it's that and that, right?
Definitely.
And you get a lot of education in this before you start teaching in it. You've been taught by experts in the field, correct?
Definitely. We have been learning for months before ever getting into the classroom, and still we always review the information we have, and we all have binders to look through in case we're not completely comfortable with it going over it in class yet, and just tons of resources that have been given to us to feel prepared and make sure we are prepared to teach others.
Mm-hmm. So the teen council gets around 130 hours of direct education around healthy sexuality per year.
Right.
And that's a lot.
Well, what I'm always amazed at is you look through the country and how varied sexual education is in the schools. I mean, some of it's, you know, abstinence only, which doesn't work that as well as one might think. And then you've got full on, you know, this is the organs, this is the disease, this is how you prevent stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. To me, if you don't teach a kid what you're teaching them, it's like teaching them to drive and not telling them to put on a safety belt. You hope they never get an accident, but if you do, this is the thing to protect yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And some of the goals of this are to increase sexual health knowledge and to reduce sexual risk taking, right? And increase self-esteem, increase communication between partners. So, I mean, there's a lot in there about consent, right? Increase comfort and confidence with decisions that you're making because you have the information to be able to best make the decision for yourself. Increased motivation to avoid pregnancy and disease. Increased safer sex skills. increase access to condoms and reduce the incidence of teen dating violence. So there's a lot packed in here.
And that's, you're educating these people over time. This isn't like one big data dump and, you know, see you later.
We have a 300-page packet that we just hand them and walk away.
Excellent.
No, we take many classes, and at times, depending on like the class environment, we get to talk at least like one-on-one or two-on-one at times while other groups are working together, just to make sure that they're actually understanding the content and walking them through it if need be. And yeah, we go with the flow and just really work with the students to make sure that they understand what they're being taught.
And that's what's nice about the peer education aspect of it and the near peer education aspect of it. So there's like this comprehensive education, but then having a flow for having some like near connected language that might be a little bit different in context. And then also it's more relatable to be able to discuss. And then we found that people feel more comfortable to ask more questions, having these near peers with these educated teen council members.
That has to be so true. I, you know, just speaking for myself, when I was a middle schooler, junior high, and the high school kids were like, they were gods. They knew everything.
No, absolutely.
And they thought they did.
Well, yes, and that too.
What are you talking about? I do know everything.
So the teen council had the opportunity to go into McMurray and do a little bit of teaching in the health classes. And can you guys talk a little bit about what that was? And I know that all the teen council members did not participate in every topic, but can you tell me a little bit about what you taught and your experiences being in the classroom?
First of all, it was really fortunate for us to be at least three members in one classroom, which was a giant advantage over almost every class is taught by a solo teacher, which at times can be really difficult when you're managing 30-something kids. We were really fortunate to have at least three of us at a time to be able to control the room better and control the tone, as well as getting to every student quicker. And Ms. Hoffman and Ms. Hatfield came to us at times and said, these kids are being really receptive. This is awesome. And at times they would say, we can never get these kids to listen this well, and they're quiet for once. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, it's cool to listen to your near peers talk about this stuff, because then it actually seems relevant, as opposed to, I know when I was younger, when my mom, hi mom, would talk to me about these things, I would think, whatever, she's old, she doesn't know anything. You know, her life is completely not like mine.
Or they never hear about it at home. And this is like a verboten subject that they finally get the light turned on, so to speak. Now, let me interrupt here for a second. We've got to do a little housekeeping. I need to tell everyone that VOV support is provided by Vashon Community Care Foundation. Financial support for Vashon Community Care, which has been providing senior living choices for island residents since 1995, now including rehab services at 206-567-4421. And also, John L. Scott again. We need to mention him, the founding underwriter for KVSS FM. Sorry, excuse me. Best people, best results. Okay, back to our regular scheduled program.
Thank you. So, Jerry, what topics were you involved in the teaching at the middle school?
A big one that immediately comes to mind, and something we can really never mention enough, is consent and the big idea that it's important and it needs to be clearly communicated. We use this awesome video we found online relating consent to tea and how you would never force someone to drink tea that doesn't want it. And I feel like that really got across to the students and hopefully anyone that we show the video to, because I just really enjoy the video and its humor, and at the same time communicating the idea that it gives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the tea video on your website or no?
It should be. Yes, Kyle is shaking
yes,
his head.
Yes, it is. So we are also pretty darn lucky. The Teen Council has its own website, and it is www.vashonteencouncil.org. And you can go there and see all the super cool things that they have been doing. For example, when after you were teaching these classes to the 7th and 8th graders, right? Mm-hmm. Have you taught the 6th graders yet?
Not yet. That is coming up later this school year, I believe next month.
April or May. We're still coordinating with the health teacher for that.
Okay.
To be determined.
Right, to be determined. And so when questions would then arise out of that, then they would come in anonymously and then be put on a Google Doc, right? Isn't that right? That
at first we would pass out pieces of paper for the students to write questions on anonymously, and then we'd pass around a box for them all to hand papers in. And just to keep the anonymity high, some kids would hand in put a paper in the box even if they didn't have a question.
Right.
And we would read those aloud at first to that class and give the answers. And once we've done that for every class, we would type it all up and put it on the website along with our answers.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe a question that was asked in one class, the other class would be able to, or the other classes would be able to get that information as well.
Yeah. And anyone is available. Anyone is allowed to go and look on the Teen Council website at mm-hmm. those questions and answers. And they're also reviewed, not just by the Teen Council, but by the school nurse, right? And health teacher?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yep. And so it's super cool. One thing that I think is pretty darn awesome is that, so at the end of April, or whenever, the Teen Council will have been able to teach and have some sort of impact on 100% of the public middle school students here on the island.
Wow.
And high five. And that's big.
That is huge.
How many other groups?
About that. Wow.
Yeah. How many other groups do you know that have that kind of impact? It's important. And
celebrities come to mind.
Celebrities, yes.
So when you're teaching these different classes, does your curriculum change? Like, do you have the same talk to the sixth grader as you do the eighth grader, or is it tweaked a little bit?
Depending on the topic that the teachers want us to teach, it would change. Purely on topic, we don't really like tweak it or dumb it down at all between the grades, because it's all very important information that they all need to learn. And personally, I think the sooner they learn it, the better to really keep in their heads.
So we work with the health teachers and to coordinate which aspects we are going to be working in, which subjects. So the teachers have requested different subjects for the different classes.
I see, okay.
And then we also have a parent-teacher night ahead of time, so then the parents are informed of what's on the curriculum, mm-hmm. Which is common practice, but...
Mm-hmm. Right, and the Teen Council doesn't teach about beliefs of anything. It's facts of...
Definitely.
This is what this is. This is what this is not. It's not about what you should be believing or what you shouldn't be believing. That's off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what happens? What's the progression of someone like yourself? You become on Teen Council and you stay there till you graduate, or are you there for the entire 4 years, or how does that work?
Well, since this is our first year, I wish I could say all 4 years. I filled out an application, tons of questions that I answered, as well as basic info. Handed it over to who would then later become my advisors, Kyle and Tracy. They review the questions, I think a background check maybe? Mm-hmm. Or am I thinking my jobs?
Yeah, and then it is a little bit like a job. And then we had an interview process with each of the
interview
candidates who are for the Teen Council.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time-heavy commitment, as I understand it.
This
isn't like, you know, half an hour once a week after school, I don't think.
No, mm-hmm. No, it's not. And it's a wonderful resume builder and and for college. I mean, think about all of the things that you have done so far. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the parent workshops that you have been a part of? And there's actually going to be another one coming up, Kyle. Sometime soon, we will let you know. It's at the library. I believe it's in May.
To be determined.
To be determined. yeah, but the Teen Council has also had opportunities to meet with groups of parents, and groups of parents have been able to ask questions to the teens. And so what have some of those questions been?
Thinking back to one of the workshops that I was a part of that I remember, it was about just trying to open up communication between the teens and the parents. And the parents were just asking us questions about, hey, how do I do this? They would maybe give examples of what they've been through, and we would give our input as partly as teens ourselves, as well as what are healthy and unhealthy ways of going about this.
Mm-hmm.
As well as respect and just trying to make it comfortable for both parties so that communication can best be handled.
Yeah, very yeah. important stuff. And next week, is it next week already? HIV week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That is determined.
Right, that is determined. And so the Teen Council will also be kind of hosting, right?
Mm-hmm. What was the acronym you used? I didn't
HIV?
Oh, I thought you said HAV. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. HIV Awareness and Education Week at Vashon High School. And got some really cool stuff set up, including doing morning announcements and some assemblies, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially some video clips and activities during lunch. And so it'll be super comprehensive. And I think even if you do know about HIV, you'll learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect segue to our next underwriter commercial.
Yes. And so thank you so very much to the Mostly True Vashon Tours. This portion of VOV program is supported by the Mostly True Vashon Tours. Based on the popular Mostly True History Books series, these tours offer a lighthearted history of our island and show you where historical events actually happened. Along the way, you experience all that Vashon has to offer in the way of local food, spirits, and recreation. For more information and tickets, visit vashontours.com. So, thank you.
Yeah, I've been told that's a pretty good gig there.
I know, I've heard that too. So, we are...
About 8 minutes.
Yep, we're winding down a little bit. And so, just again, I'm Betsy, here with Chris and Jerry, Kyle.
Hello.
We're talking about the pilot program of Vashon Teen Council. Their website is www.vashonteencouncil.org. And... if you are interested in becoming a Teen Council member for this coming year, the application is now available online on the Teen Council website.
How big is a Teen Council?
This year we have 5 student members, 5 teen members, mm-hmm. and then the 2 advisors.
Okay. Is that the general size or are they?
It could be anywhere from 3 to 14,
oh,
18
wow.
people. I think we would cap bars probably a little over a dozen.
Yeah.
But we're at 5 teens right now.
Right. And students are eligible to do it from 10th grade on. So 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
Okay.
And they also need to reapply each year to participate.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This program is really something. I mean, it really means something.
It's the football draft.
I'm going to say.
We might actually be bigger than a football team, I've heard, being on the football team.
Yeah, so what has been the most unexpected thing that you have uncovered during Teen Council?
Uncovered?
Or something cool that you experienced that you really didn't think... you were going to. I mean, going in, no one really knew what this was going to be. We've I mean, the pilot project, you kind of feel your way through. And so there were surprises all over the place. But what was a really good one for you?
Something that stood out immediately for me was being able to participate in Teen Lobby Day in Olympia. We got together in Olympia with dozens of other teen councils from all around the state in order to lobby our state government into laws regarding sexual education, as well as family funding and other things that us teens care about and felt strongly about either protecting or changing. And it was really fun to be a part of and like visually see the big picture that I'm a part of and really get to be able to like handle that in my head. That was really fun.
Did you tell them that you were in the first nonprofit outside of Planned Parenthood?
Every chance we got.
In their face.
I try to be respectful and keep some distance between.
Right. Your entourage keeps them at bay.
And who did you meet with when you were down in Olympia?
Oh, if they heard this, they would be mad because I forgot their names.
Representative Eileen Cody.
Yes, thank you.
And Representative Joe Fitzgibbon.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I think they were all really receptive to you and to what we're doing. So the peer education part is what they're doing in the high school then. So in the middle school, the teen council is physically going into the classrooms and teaching. And in the high school, they act as peer educators, right? And peer education is so very important. Because studies show that teens who have access to medically accurate sex education information are less likely to experience pregnancy, STDs, and unhealthy relationships. And so when the students see confident, knowledgeable teens like ours presenting this information, I mean, information that's really rarely discussed, they're more likely to listen and then apply that information to their own lives. And this is where the cultural shift happens.
And I think, too, if it's a peer-to-peer, it's, you know, maybe you don't want to talk to them on school property, in the hallway. You don't want it to be seen together. Like, well, what are you asking Jerry about? That kind of thing. But you know that you can catch him on your Snapchat or texting or something like that. So it's access to information that they probably don't have otherwise.
Yeah. And what's your email address?
It's coming to mind. Hang on. It's us at vashonteencouncil.org.
Yes. So us at vashonteencouncil.org.
I think upside down writing in my head. Thank you, Kyle.
And so if anyone has any questions, feel free to send off a message to the Teen Council. You don't have to be a student. You can also be a parent or a community member that's just interested in finding out more about what this is, what we're doing, what we have planned.
Mm-hmm. Also, this program will be up for streaming in a couple of days. So if you have somebody that you want, you know, you need to listen to this and learn about Teen Council and Vashon, you can just go to voiceofvashon.org and go to the archive. I've forgotten. It's up there on one of the tabs. But the shows, and you click on the show, and there's archived programs. So this will be available.
Yeah, absolutely. And we might be able to get a copy as well and put it on the Teen Council website as well for people to listen to it there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had a good time.
Definitely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Always so pleased with your work. I think it's so important. So.
Yes. And so one last shout out to the 100 Man Campaign.
Yes, please.
There are many more than 100 stand-up guys on Vashon. And so be one of the first and show your support to stopping domestic violence and sexual assault.
And where can they go to donate?
They can go to our website, vashondoveproject.org. You can find us at Courthouse Square at our office.
That's right.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1341, Or you can find any of us kind of wandering around town.
Aimlessly.
Maybe not aimlessly, but...
they don't have much to do.
We do wander around town.
No, they do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, thank you all very much.
Yeah. Thank Betsy. You, Chris. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
Cool. Bye.